Yes, it's good to be back home, even if it's a little colder here. I think I've been in 35 plus for the last 4 weeks, so a bit warmed up this morning. If you haven't already, maybe you, even if you have, would you just turn around and greet someone near you? Someone, just go and even, we'll take a minute, you can stand up and go and go across the room, just greet someone that you haven't already. Doesn't take long to revert back to saying nothing, does it? We're hoping to sort of counterculture that today in our message. And so Campbell's asked me to speak on loving one another at CBC. Surprise, surprise. We've been going on for some time, not going on about it, but talking about no gaps in church. And I loved the illustration when Campbell used the rope here and it drew us all in close together. He's been using the words blessed to be a blessing. And loved to be loving. And today we're just going to kind of re-emphasize that and think about some practical ways that we can do that here in CBC. A couple of weeks ago, Andrew gave us a financial report, and part of that report was talking about the leaks in the roof. And for those of you who've ever sat underneath them, you'll know what they're all about. But there are a number of leaks in this roof, and they're not getting any better. And so one of the important things is to organise Mr. Simon's team fix it, and he's going to organise a team. Is that right, Simon? Yeah, he's looking really excited this morning about that. But there's going to be a whole team of people that are going to come, and the idea is to fix the leaks. Why do we want to fix the leaks? Seriously, why do we want to fix them? Because those leaks are causing damage, and those gaps in the roof are causing a lot of damage to our building, and so we need to fix it. And as I was thinking about Andrew's report and needing to preach today, I was thinking also about the gaps here in our family. The gaps in our family, in our church family, the gaps between one another that need to be fixed, otherwise it's going to bring damage to the family. And I don't think today we're talking that there are a lot of damage being done to this family, but what we want to do is say, hey, we can do better than we are. And so we're going to talk about some issues this morning that are going to help us to start thinking about how we can be more welcoming and how we can be more accepting and how we can make people feel more that they belong and how we can contribute to one another's lives in a greater way. Stephen Garber wrote a book, Fabric of Faithfulness, Weaving Together Belief and Behaviour. And even though he wrote it over 20 years ago, he speaks about people's inability to unite their belief with their behaviour. He says this, regardless of your faith background, people believe that giving to charity is important, yet donations are decreasing. People believe that healthy eating is important, yet obesity is increasing. The church believes people should be loved and accepted, and yet we have never lived in a more lonely world than we live in today. When I first arrived in the States about 4 weeks ago, I picked up a paper in a hotel, and the article was entitled Loneliness. And so I read the article, and I just want to repeat some of the stuff that I read there today. It says this, that the young, not the elderly, are the most loneliest in this world. They did a survey of 20,000 people, and on a scale of ages 18 to 22 scored 48, compared with 39 for those over 72, about how much they felt lonely. Loneliness can literally make people sick and be destructive mentally as well. It can cause people to smoke, to do drugs, and points to high rates of suicide, the article was saying. Young people that use social media more suffered from greater feelings of loneliness. Online connection can bring some form of relief. Many people have many friends, but when they are in great need, they have no one. 47% say they felt left out. 43% say they feel their relationships don't feel meaningful. 43% say they feel isolated from others. 27% really or never feel that people understand them. 20% really or never feel close to people. It's interesting stats, isn't it? In a day when we've never had more communication, more ability to communicate. Jeremy Susted says this in a recent blog that he wrote. There's a great story in Richard Rumelt's book, good strategy, bad strategy that has been tickling my imagination for the past few weeks. Rummelt, a senior professor at UCLA's Anderson School of Management, was at a top technology event along with the dean of his college. Suddenly, they found themselves talking to Steve Jobs, some of you might have heard that name before, at the time the CEO of Apple. Jobs asked them who they were and what Anderson School of Management specialised in. "We're a management school that seeks to develop transformative technology companies that can make change on a global scale," the dean proudly announced. "Have I heard of any of your companies you graduates have created?" Jobs inquired. The dean paused and then he quietly said, "No." In true Jobsian fashion, Steve stated, "Well, you failed then." Rummelt felt his story to cut to the point about strategy. If your strategy isn't working, it's failing. And a great business strategy is useless unless if it's merely words on a document or ambitious goals carved into the wall. The value of a strategy is in the action, and the results can be seen or not when we honestly look at the organisation. Simply put, Steve Jobs saw that UCLA School of Management were saying they did one thing, but in reality doing another. The truth was in the actions, not in their words. And so the question for us today, as we think about CBC and these words, are they just words or are they more than words? And today I would just want to prompt our thinking and challenge our thinking as to whether the things that we think that we do, we are actually doing them here at CBC. Are we filling the gaps? Are we making sure that people feel like they belong here? I wonder what it would look like for everyone who entered Agora to meet as a CBC family on Sundays, go away full of spirit and full of their soul was full because they came to meet with us here as a family. What would it take? I wonder if you'd turn your Bibles, please, to Romans 12. So we haven't got much on the screen today, I'm sorry. There's some hiccups during the week, so if you just like to turn in your Bibles, and no doubt you've all got your Bibles in your answer. Romans chapter 12, and we're going to be looking at some verses here, verses 1 and 2, and then verses 9 through 21. I'm just going to read them to you. I'm reading from the New King James Version, so I don't know what you read in. I'm sorry that we're not all together in the same version. If you don't have a Bible, do you want to pop up your hand? Yep, there's one up there, one down the front, a couple down here. Just keep your hand up and Liam will give you a Bible. That's cool. Just three down the front here, Jim. Romans 12 is a passage that probably we all know pretty well. And the first part of Romans, Paul's talking a lot about theology, about God's grace and about sin and getting those two working together. And here he starts to give some really practical application to life. So he gives theology, and as he does in most of his books, and then he gives, hey, this is what we should be doing. And so right at the beginning of Romans 12, he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, in the mercies of God, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your most reasonable form of worship." Then he goes on to say, "And don't be conformed to this world," but underline this, "but be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Down to verse 9, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honour, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Don't set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Don't be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it's possible, as much as depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Beloved, don't avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it's written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. If he is, for in so doing you'll reap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." So right here at the beginning of this chapter, he says, what we need to do is surrender ourselves to God. He says, don't be conformed. He says, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. To bring about change in our life, we actually firstly need to come to God, and we need to present ourselves, our whole body. Our body is the vehicle by which we express ourselves to God and do many other things, obviously. But he says here, firstly, I need to die to myself, and I need to give up my idea to self-preserve myself, and it's for the sake of God, for the sake of his kingdom, for the glory of his name. And then he goes on in verse 2 and he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformation is like have a metamorphosis, have a change in the way that you think. And I think this has kind of become one of my favorite verses for a long time now, chapter verse 2. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In order for us to be different, yes, the Spirit of God has to take root in our hearts, and we need to allow Him to take the Word of God and bring life to our souls. But we also need to transform our thinking. We have to renew our thinking. How we once thought is not the way we need to continue to think. So when we're an unbeliever, we think ways of selfishness and look after number one. But when we become a child of the living God, a new spirit comes to live within us. But that new spirit, he takes the Word of God and he starts to work in our minds. But Paul here, he advises us what we need to do. Transform your mind. You need to transform your thinking by renewing your mind with the truth. So today, as we think of those two verses here at the beginning of the chapter, we're going to shoot down to verse 9 and think about how does Paul address welcoming? How does he address accepting others? How does he address making others feel belong? And then how could we contribute as a family together? So the first one is welcome. He says in verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Did you get that in verse 9? And Paul assumes that your manifest love, or this agape love, however, he wants to ensure that your love is without hypocrisy. So he presumed, hey, Christians are going to love. But he says, do it without hypocrisy. And the word hypocrisy was used in the Greek world of the actor who wore different masks to portray a different emotion of his character. And so he would change the mask depending on what character he wanted to be. And so Paul's point is here, sincere Christians wear no masks. Sincere Christians wear no masks. Instead, we should exemplify love, true love, on a consistent basis. That it's not done with hypocrisy. And so he says, let your love be authentic. Let it be like true leather. I don't know if you've ever bought anything and they said, hey, yes, it's true leather. We bought a couch, I don't know how many years ago, quite a few years ago. And I'm not sure, but I thought it was true leather. I've discovered that it's not true leather. It's starting to peel apart now, you know. It's like, really? True leather? We want the real thing. And so Paul says here, let your love be authentic. Let it be real. Let it be the real thing. And so where he says here, let it be genuine, it means existing in fact rather than imagination. And he says, let love be without favourites, with total sincerity. And he goes on to say further on in verse 9, abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Overcome evil with good. And this word cling here, cling to what is good, it means to be glued to. So when he talks about love without hypocrisy, that's what he's saying. Be authentic. Be genuine in your love. Let it be when you are with people that they feel like they're clung to by love, that they're glued to. It's something that's real and true. It goes on in verse 17 also. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it's at all possible, as much as depends on you, live it peaceably with all men. Beloved, don't avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it's written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, says the Lord. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will reap heap coals of fire on his head. And then again he says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. If we turn back in Acts, there's lots and lots of stories of the early church and the development of the early church, but making people feel like they belonged is really a big part of that. In Acts 9, not long after Paul got converted on the road to Damascus. Barnabas welcomes into the believer's family. And as everyone knew what Paul used to be like, they knew that he was a terrible, terrible bloke. And then he gets saved, and they're sort of thinking, man, is this guy saved or is he coming in underwear, you know? I mean, undercover, not underwear. Is he coming in undercover just to get at us Christians, just to kill us? And so they weren't sure. And so Barnabas, the great encourager that Barnabas is, he brings him alongside and brings him in amongst the family. And from that point on, Saul came and went as he wished with the people. You know, often when we are feeling wronged or hurt, we can carry wounds with us. We can endure some heavy heartache, some piercing pain and deep distress. We can become mentally scarred in life, emotionally scarred, and perhaps even physically scarred from people's misdeeds and harmful words against us. And when people wrong us or hurt us, our natural response is to hurt back. We kind of push back, and our natural response is that we actually want you to feel our pain. And it seems to be hardwired into our physical, into our sinful nature. When we're hurt from others, we just want to hurt and help others to know the same feeling and pain that we have endured. And so we want to return evil for evil. And Paul says, no, we don't return evil for evil. We return good for evil. And so as we're thinking about being a welcoming people today, know that we all carry some scars. And we all want to protect ourselves at times. And so we actually just don't want to get too close to people sometimes. We don't even want to make them feel too welcome. Otherwise, they might ask us a question about how we really are, and then we might have to say it. And so Paul says, hey, whether you've been evil dealt to or not, you need to return good for that. And make sure that you project goodness on other people. And so this brings us to our first takeaway point of today, and this is this. Find a lonely person and include them. So as we think about church today, I don't want you at the end of church to go around and ask, hey, are you a lonely person? Like, AMAC, are you a lonely? I don't want you to go doing that to people and say, hey, are you lonely? Because I'm just going to find you and I'm just going to include you. No, we have to go around with our ears wide open and we start to greet people and we talk with people listening. Is there a lonely person that I can speak into their life? The second word that we want to address today is the word acceptance. And it says in verse 10, beginning of verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. And this word translated be devoted to or kindly affectionate or devoted, as some have it, refers to a special kind of love. It's only used here in the whole of the New Testament. And the term was a common word which was to denote tender affection within a family where there was no condition. We love because we are family. There is no conditions attached. And I really loved that as I was thinking about this and delving into this. How good is that? That as a Christian family, we should love like we are true family. Now, I know in true families, sometimes it's not our love all the time, eh? We take each other for granted. But when the chips are down, generally family will stick together. And we shouldn't wait for the chips to be down. We should stick together all the time. And so here, this brotherly love, be kindly affectionate or be totally devoted to one another with brotherly love, Paul is saying, make sure that that's kind of that family tender love. You know, oftentimes in church, we'll gravitate to people that we like. We gravitate to people who are going to scratch our back and itch where we itch, you know, instead of just going to people and being willing to share brotherly love. And I want to encourage you today even that you might seek to cross over those barriers where maybe that you wouldn't normally. Maybe someone of a different culture is in our church and you've never gone and spoken to them. You know, I can say this today because Louise is not here, but we bring Louise to church and she's a blind lady. And you know what, after church, oftentimes here, no one goes to talk to Louise. And you know what? I want to say, if you've never done that, you're missing out on something really special. Louise is such an amazing lady. She will remember you. She's never seen a thing in her life, but she's an amazing woman. But she can sit here after church and no one will go and talk to her. And that's where we just need to shake up in our thinking. We need to transform our minds. Start thinking about, is church just about me? Or is it about others and about how I can make them feel accepted and belonging, make them feel like they belong? In Acts 11, verses 23, it says of Barnabas, again of Barnabas, that when he had seen the grace of God being enacted in the lives of those that were at Antioch, and there were the whole group of different believers from all sorts of backgrounds, when he saw that, he encouraged them to continue. What is he saying by encouraging them to continue? He's saying, hey, you know what? You are part of the body. I accept you. And it's important that he went and he encouraged them. And so, see, first takeaway point was, what do we have to do? Welcome. Sorry? Welcome. Right, find a lonely person and make them feel and include them. Second one is this. Find a person who's been misunderstood and reaffirm them or affirm them. So again, we're not going up to someone, hey, Laura, do you feel misunderstood this week? In conversation, people will let you know. And so one of the things that Barnabas does, he affirms people. So when we're in conversation, not only do we want to make them feel included, but we want to affirm them as a person. There are many people, and if I asked you to put your hand up this morning, if you've felt misunderstood this week, probably a whole bunch of you put your hand up. I know my wife would. She lived with me this week. But you know what? I'm sure that there would be. And so in our conversations, we need to think about how we can affirm people when we're with them and talking with them. Our third point today is the word belonging. And in verse 10, the second part, it says, in honour, giving preference to one another. You know what? I love being in the islands, and it's just like, I'm usually in there every year, and when you're with the people in the islands, you're made to feel like $1 million. You just feel like they come and they kind of treat you like a king, even though you know you're not a king. And they make you feel very, very welcome and special. I can think of some people in this church that make me feel like that. I'm not going to name them this morning. But you know what? There are some people that are very good at doing that. And do you know, you can probably name those people in your head right now. But I wonder whether we all need to be part of this, making people feel like they belong. And these words here, in honour, giving preference to one another, it is the idea of outdoing one another by love, by honouring others. So don't think about, well, I'm going to go and outdo Laura this morning by loving on someone. I'm going to make sure that I'm better than Laura so people think well of me. That's not the idea. The idea is just to be extreme in outdoing people with love. The person who's receiving it, over-endow them with love so that they feel like they belong. And so when we give preference, we give up the need to have my own needs met and to have my own back scratched. So be aggressive in giving yourself away. Do you know one of the important things is that we need to be secure in Christ to be able to do that. We need to know that we are loved by God. We need to know that we are totally loved by Christ in order to be able to do that. Because if you're insecure in your love and in receiving the love of Christ, there's no way that you can give that out. Because all the time you're trying to fill up the gaps in your own life. And so when we came to know Christ, you know what? He fills those gaps. And as we surrender, as verse 1 says, present your bodies to him a living sacrifice, you know what? He's going to fill you up. It's not about making yourself dead to God. It's actually, yes, you're dying to yourself to God, but you're actually making yourself alive to him because you're going to be filled up with his love and with his grace and with his mercy. It's overwhelming. In Acts 15, verses 36 through 41, Paul has an issue with John Mark. And again, you know what, who it is that believes in John Mark? It's good old Barnabas. He's there at those times when people need encouraging. You know, John Mark, he's been gone along to be a help to Paul, and Paul probably thought he was a pain in the butt, you know. He's like, John Mark, you just aren't cutting it, buddy. You're just a bit of a nuisance to me, so you can stay home. Sort it out. How are you thinking that John Mark's feeling at this point in time? Well, I actually just don't want to be part of this. I'm just going to go away, and I'm going to go home. I'm never even going to be part of this mission journey again. He's probably thinking that. I'm sure he is. You've felt that. I've felt that. But Paul, what does he do? He comes along and he believes in John Mark. And he picks him up and he is of use. Maybe he had some rough edges. We don't know that. But Barnabas, he believes in him. And so he made John Mark feel like he belonged. I love these verses in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, and it says this: therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but for the interests of, you know what it says? What is it? For the interests of others. And then it says this key line: let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay? We need to transform our thinking. We need to understand, what is the Word of God saying to me? How should I love? How should I make people feel like they belong? How should I show grace to others? Well, it's about actually thinking like Christ thinks. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so my takeaway point here is, not only first one was to find a lonely person and affirm them. To find a person who's been misunderstood and affirm them. And then thirdly is to find a struggling person and restore them. You know, that's such an important thing. In our church, every week in this church, there are people that are struggling with sin. Every week in this church, there are people that are struggling with life. And they just need to feel like that they could be restored to a place where they could be useful to God. Unfortunately, the church is not always the greatest place for that. CBC obviously is an exception to the rule, but most other churches, no. Seriously, we need to be listening and we need to be opening our eyes. We need to be talking to people in order that we can help a struggling person and restore them to the place that they could be. And then finally, contributing. In verse 11, it says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit. Take a look at that. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit. Keith Krell says this. He says, you've heard perhaps about the guy who was asked if he thought ignorance and apathy were the two greatest problems in the human nature. And he responded, well, I don't really know and I don't really care. Surprise, surprise. Well, Paul doesn't want us to see that kind of attitude in the church. Rather, he urges us to be diligent and fervent in our love and service for others. And the word that is translated fervent here is the idea means to boil or to seethe. It doesn't mean in anger, okay, let's get this right, but it means to boil up or to seethe. To be fervent in spirit is to allow the Holy Spirit to set you on fire, and he's the one who will give you the strength to love and to serve. So again, it's allowing the Spirit of God to allow that love within you to seethe, to boil over, so that it affects others, so it spills out on other people. I really love that. Love that. When I started looking into what this word to mean, fervent in spirit means. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So I just encourage you today, have an attitude of gratitude. There's always someone worse off than what you and I are. It says of Jesus himself that he had nowhere to lay his head. He had nowhere to lay his head. I think of sometimes in my life that comfort's pretty important. And then the Lord takes you out of your comfort zone and you go into a third world country and you see, well, actually, is it that important? The early church, if you go to Acts chapter 4, a great picture of the early church, and it's like, I wonder how that happened. You know, they went and they sold everything they had. They put everything together and they contributed to each other's needs. That was the idea behind it. It wasn't just to go without, because they didn't go without. Why? Because they each contributed to each other's needs. And then it goes on to say in that verse, end of verse 11, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints. So firstly, are we listening to the needs of others as we talk to other people around us? So I think sometimes, you know, we become consumed with ourselves and we're not really listening. I wonder what their needs are as we're talking to people. Are we thinking, how can we help these people, this person that I'm talking to? How can I contribute to their life? And sometimes in our conversations, we're thinking about, well, what can I say next? You know, how can they hear me? How can they hear some of my wisdom? And God gave us two ears and one mouth for a very good reason, that he wants us to listen. He wants us to listen. So are we listening to people and now we're thinking about how we can contribute to their needs? Secondly, are we thinking about what are their needs? What are some of the things that these people might need? And so in your mind, as they're talking or in your conversation, are you thinking about, well, I wonder if they have some physical needs? I wonder if they need food. I wonder if they just need a listening ear sometime. I wonder if they need praying hands today. I wonder if they need words of encouragement. See, a contributor is actually thinking about the other person and not themselves. Thinking about, how can I invest in these people's lives today? And so, you know what? Some of you might say to me, well, I don't have very much to contribute. You know, the widow gave her mite and the Lord took that. And I want to encourage you today that no matter what is in your hands, it's never too small for God to use. But you need to be observing. You need to be looking out. You need to be thinking about, how can I use my hands? You may not have money in your pocket. You may not have a lot of food to give, but you might be able to go and help someone build a fence. You might be able to go and pray with someone. You might be able to go and listen to someone. And so today I want us to think about, how can we contribute to those that are around us today? In what way? And you know what? I want to encourage you that if you've got something small in your pocket and God is asking you to give it, would you just give it? Especially if it's Deliro's. And then you might just see how God is going to provide for you. In our missionary journey over the last number of years, there's been times when people might have handed me $20. I can remember back, especially in my early days of ministry, and someone would say, here's $20 for an ice cream. You know, it was a big ice cream. I was looking forward to it. Until someone else came along and says, the Spirit of God touched my heart and says, hey, you just got to give that away to someone else. Thinking, Lord, this is like, we don't have much now. But you know what? Whenever I gave it away, I never missed out. I never lost out. You know, God might be calling you to give $10 today. It might be a dollar. It might be $10,000. I don't know. You're saying, well, actually, I need that. Well, who gave it to you in the first place? Did God give it to you? Did he place it in your pocket? Did he place it in your hands to be used for him? He did. So maybe if you just give that away, you'll be able to see how much he can give you again. I'm not saying being foolish, but I'm saying develop a heart, transform your thinking so that you start thinking, have the mind of Christ, as in Philippians chapter 2 says. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. He had nowhere to lay his head. He had no belongings. He gave them away and he contributed greatly to the needs of other people. And so our takeaway from contributing today is this. Find a needy person and enrich them. Find a needy person and enrich them. So what are our 4 points today as we finish up here? Firstly, we need to find a lonely person and include them. Just take a little thinking for a moment. Do you know someone lonely today? How could you include them? Secondly, find a person who has been misunderstood and affirm them. How can we affirm people? Think about how you can affirm someone today. And be genuine in that affirmation. Don't make up stuff. Don't just say, well, your coat looks nice. Your hairstyle looks great. You know, that's fleeting. It's nice things to say that. It's really nice to say that. Someone said, hey, I like your shirt today. And I thought, oh, that was nice. Thank you. If you haven't said it, you can say it later. But no, seriously, it's like, that's a nice thing. But it's actually, yeah, that'll last for today, but I'll be wearing something else tomorrow. So think about how you can affirm someone in their soul, in their spirit, in their life, so they can live off that for the whole week. Think about how you can speak words of truth into their life. And then find a struggling person and restore them. There are struggling people all around us, whether they know Christ or they don't know Christ. I've spoken to people on my journey, whether it was on a plane or somewhere else, about life, and there are people struggling all around us who don't know Christ. Young man, I sat and talked. Well, I didn't actually have to talk much to him. He spoke to me for an hour about his family life. And I was able to share the gospel with him and help him on his journey to coming to know God. But you know what? He was a needy man, a broken man. And it's not, we don't have to look far to find a struggling person and help to restore them. And then finally, find a needy person and enrich them. How are you going to contribute today? How are you going to make people feel welcome at CBC? How are you going to make them feel like they belong here? How are you going to make them feel like they're accepted here? How are you going to feel like you can contribute to them? That's our take home today. And you know what? As we leave these doors today, don't just walk out and say nothing to anybody. You might be a person that feels really insecure about talking to people. But as a Christian, as a believer, you too have a responsibility to talk to someone. Just go up and greet someone and say, Lord, you just got to help me with this. You know, for me, I find it really easy to talk to people, surprise, surprise. But my wife, she doesn't find it so easy to talk to people. She has to choose to talk to people. I don't have to choose to talk to people. If I talk to you and you don't want me around, just see you later. All right? So for some of us, it's a difficult thing, right? To communicate to people, to go up and say hello. But even you can contribute to someone else's life today. Don't always be expecting people to contribute to you. And so we need to transform our thinking, and that comes when we surrender our minds and our hearts and our wills and our lives to the Lord Jesus himself and say, Lord, I come and I bring myself as a sacrifice to you, but I need you to transform my thinking. I need you to change the way that I think so that I can be a contributor, so that there are no gaps here at CBC, so that we are blessed to be a blessing. Help me to be a blessing today. And help me to love someone so they feel like the love of Christ has been bestowed upon them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for reminding us about the importance of people in our lives. And Lord, you've put us in community. You've put us with one another to contribute to each other's lives. And Lord, just as those in the early church demonstrated to us how it should be, Lord, we here today, we want to make sure that we don't have any gaps in this church family. Lord, help us, lead us today to someone that we can affirm, to encourage, to restore, to include. Help us not to be thinking of our own needs all the time, Lord. And we thank you for the demonstration of the Lord Jesus who gave up everything so that we could experience his love and his grace and his mercy. And today, we say thank you for him. Thank you that he hung on a cross and gave up his life so that we could have life, so that we can encourage others to have life as well. We give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Are we on? Good. Thank you, Tom. That was awesome. Isn't life ironic? The roof leaked all over my notes. they really soaked. That's cool. We can carry on. Hey, it was really interesting. As I was walking up here, I couldn't help but notice the words on the back wall. Hide in my welcome, love one another, no gaps. And we've heard a whole bunch of words, no disrespect to your message, Tom. We've heard a lot of words today. The thing about that is that they don't actually mean anything unless they produce change. And we're the people that need to make those changes. So we need to take these words that we've heard and the words that we see and we proclaim to everybody as they walk through the door. And we need to actually make some changes, because otherwise they just end up being words, and that's not what we're about, is it? But just like Tom said, and I imagine this is true for a large number of us, because it certainly is for me, that it is difficult, isn't it? I find it really difficult in that first connection with people to make that first connection. It's really interesting. We had from my count, we had 3 new families come in today. And sorry to talk about you on your first day here. But I was busy doing my stuff this morning, getting ready, doing whatever it is I needed to do. And I saw them sort of out of the corner of my eye. And I don't know what it was. I stopped and my heart skipped a beat. And I was like, oh man, I can't just carry on in my day without actually stopping and acknowledging those people. Because as difficult as it is for us to make that first connection, it's also really difficult to walk through the door for the first time, isn't it? And at some point in time, we all had to walk through the door for the first time. So the thing I guess I just wanted to do is clear the air today and say it's actually difficult for all of us, isn't it? It's difficult to walk in for the first time. It's difficult to welcome people for the first time. But it is actually something that we need to practice. And it's something that we need to do with grace, because we all make mistakes and sometimes we get it wrong and sometimes we don't do it. So grace has to be a big part of that. But if we don't actually start to practice, then it becomes something that we just don't do, and then we end up being a people who are not very welcoming and people don't feel welcomed when they're here. So what I want for you to do today, right now, is I want us to do something a little bit awkward, and I want us just to get into some groups and I want us to answer some questions. Okay, so you're going to need to kind of get out of your comfort zone a little bit. There's 3 questions that are going to go up on the screen. And I want you just in groups of maybe a half a dozen or so, just to talk about the first 2 questions. And they're really simple questions, because you will all have an experience of when you either first came to CBC or something like that, that you can talk about within that group. Okay, so we're going to give you a few minutes to do that, and then answer the second question. This is, what do you think would help create a no-gaps culture at CBC?